Well, good morning. Welcome back. You came back. That's great. Okay. Well, it's good to be back after our long fall break, and got a couple things to take care of before we get underway this morning. And just as we do get underway this morning, we're reminded of the words from our Apostle Paul concerning the body of Christ, that whether one member of that body suffer, all the members suffer with it, or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And these first few moments will be dedicated to you if you want to bring us up to speed on anything. And I'll bring you up to speed on some things. And we will suffer together and rejoice together. So I just wanted to first of all thank Chris Adams. I listened to the Bible classes that he taught just before our break, and they were outstanding. And I hope everybody listened to them because they were fantastic, and just went perfectly with what we're dealing with. And just thanks so much for being able to be trusted to fill in and know that you're not going to be trying to teach us to speak in tongues or something like that. But I appreciate that. What's that? Yeah, I appreciate that very much. We had sent a card, a couple cards out. I got a reply from Mr. Alan Jones out in Statesville, who has been a very faithful supporter of our ministry. And I thought I'd just read you his comments, a few of them. He wrote several things, but I thought I'd pass that on. He says, even though you spoiled the gift, the card surprise. We kind of spoiled that. He said, I still got teary-eyed. My wife was watching me read it and couldn't understand how I could be so emotional about a group of people from way over there at Raleigh. I cherish every signature on the card as if it were the president's autograph. And his staff members. He said, I still hope to come and visit. If my paper person is still up, I'll know where to sit. And he said, I'm very grateful to you all and the members of this assembly. And he said, I look forward to spending eternity with you all, with all of you. And just a very nice little reply there from him. So I just wanted to pass that on to you as well. And oh, I've got spiders coming down. Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got. There's probably a. It's probably like on that movie. There's probably some giant one will come down and take me away someday. Anyway. All right. Well, one of the, I'm also thrilled today to see John and Vicky here today. You ready to kick some balls around, or are you? Good. Well, that's terrific. Good. Well, that's great. I know that Lisa McGrath isn't here today, but she may want to talk to you guys about, she's having some very serious back trouble. And if you could direct her to some doctors or something or help, I'm sure she'd appreciate that. And she couldn't be here today. Anyone else have anything they want to add? I've got some things I'm going to do here, so but before we do that, anything you got? Are you? Oh, great. Well, good. Is that up in New York? Yeah. Yep. Okay. All right. Hey, one other thing I found out too in watching Chris. The videos of Chris, this microphone thing that Eric and Andrew put in, it actually works. I don't see it. I don't know where the thing is, but that little deal picks up pretty well. It certainly picks Steve up. I could hear him really well, so yeah. So that was good. That was the first time I'd listened to anything from here, and I don't listen to myself at all. I think I've got the worst voice in the world. Anyway, anybody else? All right. Well, I'll just tell you a little bit about my vacation. I went to, I have a little bit of show and tell. Went to the Shenandoah Valley, of course, and I will tell you this. I've never had a bad time there, and regardless of what the weather is or anything else, and I had a great time this time. But, all this stuff that's been going on has invaded that area as well. So the COVID thing was rearing its ugly head. Cindy and I went to Sharando Lake, which is a lake there that we love to go to and just relax. It's a place of great, great peace. And we picnic there and we take our music. I have music for that. I take my music everywhere, and it's amazing how many people come by and they'll say, that is such great music. They said, why didn't we ever think of doing something like that? But you can get these little speakers and just put your MP3 player in there, and I've got music selected for that. And we were getting ready to do that again, and usually when we get there this time of year, the little entry has a little place where the guys take your money and everything. It's a state-owned park. Usually that place is closed this time of year, and you're on your honor. You still pay, I think, it's like $6 for day use. And so we were going to go down there and do that. And when we drove up to the gate, we were descended on. I mean, there was like a bunch of guys there, and they had signs there, and they said, you can't be here unless you're a camper, and you can't be a camper unless you have reservations. And I said, look, all we want to do is go down and we'll pick a little picnic table down there, and we just want to picnic. You can't do that. We can't let you in. And he said, this was the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard in my life. He said, you can walk in, but we can't let you drive in. I was like, so there's something magical about my car that for some, and I just got frustrated and turned around and left. So we couldn't do that. And we went to another place we had never been to before, a place called Cave Mountain Lake, which is down near Lexington. And I wanted to go to that lake because there's a furnace there. Now, most of you don't know what these furnaces are, but all through the valley, there are these furnaces that are back from the Civil War and even before then. And it's little places where they forged iron, and there's some of ruins that are still around. And so I wanted to see this one. I did, and we got there, and my hand of God, we were the only people there. My car was the only car in the parking lot. Now they did have the gate shut, but you could walk around it, and you just walk down to the lake. So we think, okay, we got it, we're good. I get out of the car, pop the trunk, we're going to do some picnicking, and from somewhere, we got descended on by golf carts full of old women. And these old ladies came down, they go, no, 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 you can't be here, you've got to leave. I said, we're the only people here. It doesn't matter, the governor says, and everybody says, and so we were booted out of there as well. So we had that problem. But it didn't deter me because I knew places to go that we could go to, and we found picnic tables, we found places, and we got to go. I got to see some battlefields that I'd never seen before, and some of the. But like I said, I mentioned before that even the whole Black Lives Matter movement has really affected that area as well, and so I don't know. I may be, I've heard that the leaves are amazing up in New England. I don't know. Next year, maybe the first time in a long time, I don't go to the valley. But let me show you something here. Okay. We've been going up to the Shenandoah Valley for over 15 years. Every time we go, we look for a bear. One time, Cindy swore she saw one, and so I turned around. We were in the mountains on these switchbacks, and so I get myself turned around. We go racing back to see this bear, and it was just a giant knot on the side of a tree. So 15 years, we'd never seen a bear until this year. We finally saw a bear. We were out on a very, very remote stretch of road, which is what we try to do. We try and get lost. And we were on this remote stretch of road, and there was a field across the street. There was a field, and then right next to that field was a wood line. And that bear was going up the side of that field to go to that wood line. And so Cindy saw it. I didn't see it. So I stopped the car. There was nobody coming. You could have laid down and taken a nap in that road and not been run over. And so I stood there. I got my camera out, and I saw it, and I started taking pictures of it. I thought, this is great. It really is a bear. We saw a bear, a black bear, in the Shenandoah Valley. And so we were all excited about it. And then, by the way, as soon as I finished taking pictures of that bear, I don't want this to get out, but it pooped in the woods. The saying is true. You ever heard the old saying? Does a bear? It does. I didn't get a picture of that, though. So anyway, I took the pictures. The bear is way, way off, and I'm zooming in and taking pictures of it, and I'm not paying really a whole lot of attention to the details of it, but I got pictures of the bear, so I can prove we saw a bear. Then I looked at the pictures, and I looked at them closely. It is the most emaciated, flea-bitten, mange-looking, mangy bear I've ever seen in my life. Of all the bears we could have possibly seen, we had to see this one. And I'll show you. I'm not teasing. There he is. There he is. That's his rear end. He's going to the woods. I know. That's the bear that we saw. It's like, you think it's mud. It looks like mange to me. That poor bear. We should have taken it to the shelter or something, or it needs fed. That bear doesn't know how to hunt or something. I know, of all the bears, the one time we see a bear in the valley, we see that pitiful thing. But anyway, that's the bear that we saw. Yeah, that's the problem. It was right by, there was cows over the field over from that, but the cows would probably kill the bear. I don't know. But anyway, we did see a bear. We did go to, there was one lake we went to, Elkhorn Lake. And this was at Elkhorn Lake. Cindy's getting ready to crochet. She was doing a lot of crocheting up there. That's Elkhorn Lake. It was pretty, really pretty up there. The weather wasn't very good. We had about half and half of, we just came across this by accident. This is the kind of stuff we do. We come across all these things by accident. We said, oh, that's a beautiful falls. This is the creek that leads down to Cave Mountain Lake. That's as far as I could get. I took that picture, and then I got accosted by the old women in golf carts, and they threw me out. You can see how dangerous that area is. It's just a hotbed for COVID. But we know where to find. This was at Edinburgh, just north of New Market. A lot of Civil War fighting took place right through this area. And you can see all those ducks behind Cindy. She feeds those ducks. Every time we go up there, she's always got bread for ducks. Whenever we go to a place, she'll get ducks to come up. And there was a ton of them. We were picnicking there. It was Halloween. We went through a little town. I think this is Mount Jackson. You know what that's a Halloween thing of? You know who that is? That's it. That's the Tiger King and that lady, whoever, Carol. Yeah, that. I said, I got it. You have to take a picture of that. I mean, you have to. The Tiger King. I liked what the sun was doing to the mountains there. This is looking west, and this is at McDowell, which is west of Stanton. There is a major battle fought there, and I'm in the battlefield. And the battlefield is a cow pasture. with cows just going all over the place. You have to be really careful where you step. But there are markers out there, and I wanted to survey that battlefield. And so I was looking at that battlefield. This was Jackson's Valley campaign. He got the only defeat he got was at Kernsville, and it was early in 1862. And immediately after that, he goes to McDowell, and he defeats two armies there at McDowell. It was one of his great victories there. And so I was looking at that battlefield, and there's Cindy doing what she normally does when I'm on a battlefield. She's just waiting for me. But you can kind of see the path that you can go and everything. But the cows were just all over the place. Oh, and there was one other thing that happened while we were on break. And I got to perform. That's probably me crying all over myself, sobbing and bawling. I didn't know I was going to get all that emotional, but I did. And so we were able to get Sarah and RJ married, and they're here this morning. Mr. and Mrs. Ruth are here. I have a couple of their pictures. RJ's not in that one. Sorry. There they are. And I still kid them and say, you know, Tony will love this. I know the spelling's a little bit different, but if you do ever have a little boy, just think about naming him George Herman. We would nickname him Babe. Anyway, there they are. All right. Yeah. So that was basically it. All right. Anything else?
I just want to say that I was not only lucky enough to marry into an amazing family, but also an amazing church woman. You guys have been so
generous. Well, you're welcome.
You are a lucky man.
All right. Well, we'll forgo the special music because of the length of all of this. But I will say, I heard you sing when Chris was here. You can get a song out. All right. Anything else then before we get underway? All right. Well, let's get ourselves back to the important matter of godly edification. And now, please, would you open your Bibles once again to Romans chapter 16, the last chapter, Romans chapter 16. By the way, what I got out of the wedding was this suit, so I got a new suit out of the deal. Romans chapter 16. Let's refresh ourselves a little bit here by reading the entirety of the passage from verse 1 through 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. All right. Before we get ourselves underway this morning, I'd like to ask Mike, would you lead us in prayer, please? All right. Well, let's warm our thinking back up once again. We, of course, are dealing with the godly labor portion in Part C, the last part of the godly labor portion in the first of the twofold matters that our Father speaks to us about as we exit the book of Romans and the first level of our sonship education and edification. And this deals with the godly labor of greeting and saluting the saints in godly love and charity. And we've looked at this big list of people here, and I want to do just a very brief review. Maybe it'll take the rest of this session, but I want to then finish up the details. There's some details and loose ends that need to be dealt with before we get underway and continue moving on. I do want to say, though, just to dovetail on some of the things that Chris was saying in the sessions that he had, and that is that I will tell you this, that and I wasn't, I will, to be honest with you, I wasn't swayed by what was said in those sessions, because I'd been thinking of doing it anyway. I don't think it would be such a good idea for this little group to go away from the curriculum for our godly edification. I know I've been touting that I was going to be doing this survey. It may be that if that's your desire, and if that's something that you would benefit from, and I'm sure you would, I might want to just turn you toward Keith's either short survey or long survey, and you could get that information there while we continue on in Paul's epistles. And I really think that what I'm going to do when I end Romans is do 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians we may do in a more survey style, because as Chris said, I don't think that's where we are or where we're going to end up so much as needing the information there that actually shows you the corrective doctrine that God gives through the Apostle Paul, of the problems that can be had there. It becomes a very good warning book of warning of us to understand what those signs are that start to crop up and say, you know, we're becoming Corinthian in our thinking. And then once those corrections are made, they're ready now, along with the Roman saints, to move into their sufferings of Christ, and 2 Corinthians comes along, and we need to get to Ephesians is what we need to do. We need to get there, and that's my intention. And so, let's see, 20 years in Romans. I've only got about 20 years of life left or so. So we'll try and get there. We'll see what happens. But I was encouraged by some of the things you said, though. And that if I, you know, hopefully get some feedback from you on that, I think it might be the best thing to do for the assembly. And I want to say one other thing. What he talked about was so good in terms of. I've debated about doing this because it could get me in trouble. Not the kind of trouble you're thinking of, but troubled mind. But I really would like to, and it's weird to look at this little thing, this camera thing here. I also found out that if I hit this thing, that thing jars. Which, man, that thing's probably been jarring around a lot. But I have to acknowledge, it's not that it pains me, but I do have to acknowledge that there are some internet listeners that are very faithful to this ministry. And they have a very tough time. Very tough. And I want you in the internet world to know that I would like to encourage you because I know that having to do this over the internet exposes you all the more to all the internet social media traffic. And that stuff is just in the sewer. And there are people out there who absolutely despise this ministry and the doctrine that we teach here. And so those folks have to have tremendous courage to be able to continue on, and especially as supporters of this. And I just want them to be encouraged that I know that, and that they have to be even more careful than we ever do when it comes to the issue of I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of this person, I'm of that person, because that's really what this becomes. And in many circles out there, that's the thing. Well, I follow this guy, I follow that guy. That's why what I've tried to do here is if you don't see it, if you don't really see what's been taught here, and it's just if it ever comes to the point where the only thing I know that the only reason I know this is true or think this is true is because Mark has said it. That can't be. Then you're not believe then you're it's not working right. This has to be, this is why I've often said, you've got to, and I know this by experience, and I'm not going to get into all of this, but this is some of the stuff that a lot of people don't understand about the relationship I had with Keith. And that was that Keith never did my thinking for me. He forced me to have to do the work all on my own. And the result of his mentorship with me was not that I was enamored with him. It never was. I still am not enamored with him. I'm not all starry-eyed about Keith Blades. But I am starry-eyed, and I am enamored, and I am in love with, and I am enthralled with and thrilled with my Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only saved me, but who also sanctified me. And also provided so that I could be, as he was the first fruits among many brethren, a brother, an adopted brother to the Lord Jesus Christ in the work that he's doing today in this dispensation of grace. It's not a matter of I follow this guy or that guy. I follow the book. And if I can help facilitate you in the book, in the curriculum, that's what I'm here for. But I am never here for you to follow me as a man or as a person, as a celebrity. I'm not a celebrity. But that's one of the big things that the internet listeners have to deal with all the time. And that's why I've said and I don't know them, and I'm not looking to get into all of that. And there may be some out there that are nutcases. See, to me, that's what happens in my head. There are people out there listening to you. Yeah, they're probably crazy. And I shouldn't think that. But I've been stung so much in the past that becomes part of it. But I want them to know that they're the only reason I'm not cutting this thing off. Because if it were not for the fact that I know there's a benefit to our website, I'd do away with it today. But because there is a benefit to it, I'll endure that, and hopefully they'll be able to get the benefit out of our ministry. But I know that's a tough thing to have to fight, and I just admire their courage. And for those who actually support this ministry, I can't thank them enough. And I appreciate it very, very much. And I think you should too. And some of these people, there's probably some of them I've never heard of before, but hopefully we can be a helper of their joy. And I just wanted them to know that. All right. Well, let's get back to our study here at hand. Once again, we have this list of people we've been dealing with for quite some time now, and I wanted to do a bit of a review after the fall break. And when it comes to this list, I just want to go over a few things here, and then we will finish things up to where we can get to Priscilla and Aquila next time. All right. You have this list of people. It's one that is usually overlooked by most commentaries and Bible teachers. They all pretty much race through it and see it almost as superfluous information. Why should we care about these people who lived 2,000 years ago? The things that they're doing and even that they're described as doing here is all past history. It has no bearing on us today. Let's just cut to the chase, deal with a few verses from verse 17 through 20. And then the few verses at the end, and that's about all that Romans 16 ever gets dealt with. So let me ask you some questions. Why does God have the Apostle Paul include this list of people in Romans 16, verses 1 through 16? Why does he have him include this in the book of Romans, which is the doctrine of our fundamental godly edification? What has this got to do with our edification? Why include a list of people who've been dead for 2,000 years? What possible significance is there for this list today? Why is this here?
He prepared to move on, and in light of that, we see a group who exemplify the doctrine, and we recognize people that we need to sow our footsteps as they did, and we need others to be that for us. We see the body.
Good. Okay. So that's right. That's good.
They did a lot of suffering in order to.
They sure did. Yeah. Probably. Okay. All that is good and all that's right. You're right on the button. Those are all things we've covered in Bible class. But you need to also remember, let's not just look at it as a memorial to what people have done or even an example or ensample of what we need to do. There's a doctrinal reason for it. And it's that doctrinal reason. If all Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. There's got to be doctrine in this for us. And it's very close to what you're saying. I just want you to remember, it's not just a historical account that we should be, it's not just a memorial. And I don't think you were saying that, but I just want to make sure that we keep that in mind. There's a doctrinal purpose to this. And I don't think we've got to the core of that. I think we'll get to it here today, to really get to it, but we've started to put it together in our summary statement. Let's just put this on the board. The doctrinal reason for that is, and this is very similar to what you were saying, it's just couched a little differently. Godly edification is a joint effort. Paul will talk about it in Ephesians in the advanced doctrine. He talks about what every joint supplieth of the body. It's a joint effort of the body of Christ. We've come to the point where we understand edification isn't, we're not just here individually, but we're here as a local assembly, a local body, as a body, even in this local assembly. And your godly edification is as important in my sight as mine, through Romans doctrine. Now, it's going to get to the point where that becomes more important, and you're willing to die for it, for another's edification. In fact, we've got Priscilla and Aquila coming up who would do just that if they could. They laid down, they didn't, but they laid down their own necks. It's a joint effort of the body of Christ, and this gets especially focused upon in level 2, or in the advanced epistles of Paul in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. That's level 2 sonship edification, where not only the sufferings of this present time are still being dealt with every day on a daily basis, but where the addition of the sufferings of Christ now are going to be encountered. They're going to be added to that, and that's going to demand such servants, succorers, helpers, laborers. These are edification servants, edification succorers, edification helpers, edification laborers, ones who are approved in edification, and edification suppliers and refreshers, in order to deal with the effects of the opposition from the satanic policy of evil. So that was our summary statement. But there's still more to it than that, and we'll get to the more to it than that in our next lesson. All right? So I think Chris alluded to it. how will you benefit from that list? Chris talked about a twofold way, right? Anybody but Chris want to answer that again? Yeah, you will need to become as those on this list for other members of the body. Now listen, there's a big if here. If you determine, and I can't, I can't force you to determine that. Can't force this church into anything. I won't. But if you truly determine and respond properly and positively to godly edification, then this should be true of us. One of the problems in the ravages of the adversary and his policy of evil on the body of Christ today is that the body of Christ is so fragmented. When you look at all believers today, everybody who truly is saved, truly justified unto eternal life, some of them are in denominations. Most of them don't rightly divide the word of truth. So the mystery of Christ and what God's doing in this dispensation of grace is still a mystery to them. To many of those who even understand that, how godly edifying takes place is still a mystery. So the adversary has done a lot of good on his side. He's done good. So a lot of good evil has been done. He's done good for himself. There's a lot of division today. So I'm not sure that, you know, this is the ideal standard that God sets up. It's going to be few and far between that see this. But we need to determine that's what we will be. Even if we never use it, that's what we're ready to be. We're ready to be all those appellatives up there. We're ready to be to others in the body of Christ for their edification. And secondly, I'm going to need people like this if I'm going to be able to get through my entire godly edification as well. I'm going to need other members of the body of Christ to be on this as those on this list for me. All right, so that was briefly a review of what this list is and what it's for. We're going to narrow that understanding a little bit coming up here. But when we started to look at the details of this list, we noticed that Phoebe gets mentioned first. Phoebe is mentioned first. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is in Crea, that you receive her. You'll notice on the, let me get to the other one that I've got the right there. Phoebe has that R up there, which again doesn't stand for Republican. It stands that she is to be received, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint and your sister in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and myself also. Why is Phoebe mentioned first in this list? Is she the most important? No. Then why is she mentioned first? Right. Phoebe has the most pressing matter of business of anybody in this list at that moment. And what was that business? Yeah, she's carrying the Epistle of Romans from Corinth up to Rome for them to begin copying it and disseminating it, acting as those apostles and prophets, copying that manuscript out, making faithful, exact copies of it, and then distributing it to all the other churches. Well, what is the significance then of her being, it says, received? You receive her. What's the significance of her being received rather than greeted or saluted? What is it? Why does he say to receive her? I mean, obviously, receiving her is welcoming her and those kinds of things. But what was the significance we saw of that word receive that made it the most excellent choice? Because of the weighty matter that she was involved with and how pressing it was, if indeed, and I believe it was true, that she was carrying the Epistle of Romans to be copied and then distributed, receive becomes the appropriate word because why? All right. Right. What I'm after is a little piece of information, though, that makes that jump out that we studied. And it's this. This is why we review. Receive narrows your focus of attention not so much upon the way she is received, but upon the attention of not rejecting her. Not rejecting her and not rejecting the ministry or business she has with those Roman saints. Do not reject her or her ministry. That's language and terminology that is appropriate for the grandeur and the weight and the pressing matter that she was involved with in coming to them. And it really focuses that attention on not rejecting her or her ministry. And again, we covered this, but Phoebe's business with the Roman saints, of course, is to assist her in the copying out of the scriptures of especially Romans and distributing it. So when Paul then comes along and says that Phoebe is a succorer of many, and this was the one that really nailed this down, when Phoebe, it says she's a succorer of many and myself also, what does succor mean? It's almost like what I had to do if you went to the wedding, and I've done this. By the way, this was the vow that Cindy and I took, Tim and Chris took, when we were married. We were both married by our pastor, Harley Melton, there in Indiana. And they had to say this, I had to say this, and I perpetuated it in every wedding ceremony I've ever done. And by the way, I have yet to do, every wedding ceremony I've ever done has also, for the woman, included the word obey. I tell them right at the beginning, if you can't agree, ascend to obey your husband, then I'm not marrying you. But I always do this. The husband will come along and he will plight his troth to the wife. And thereto I plight thee my troth. The woman says, and thereto I give thee my troth. She gives her troth. He plights her troth. That's older English terminology. And when you plight something, it's like a pledge, but a pledge is a pledge of material goods. You can pledge certain material things. Plight is a particular kind of a pledge or promise in which your word is what is being promised or pledged, plighted. Your word and your name. Troth is an older English expression for truth, and when it comes together, the loyalty and faithfulness and fidelity of your name is being put on the line. The English language, they had to come, in the older English, they had to come up with a way that when the husband and wife made the promise to wed, that there was special terminology for that that made that the most binding and solemn oath that could ever be made by two human beings. And those terms go along with that. If you lived in colonial days and you broke that plight, if you broke that, if you were unfaithful to her, and you broke that, your name, because your name was associated, it, your name would be brought up in question in every other contractual arrangement you ever made. In other words, if you went to the feed store in colonial days and you'd been unfaithful to your wife and you needed as a farmer to buy seed for your farm on credit, they would come along and say, why should I give you credit on your name when you could not even keep your plight to your wife? Can you imagine what that would have done to Cal Cunningham? Didn't think much of his name. And by the way, the woman gives her troth and doesn't plight it because her name is going to become his name. So she gives her troth. He plights it. She gives it. If you were at the wedding, Sarah and RJ thought so much of that that they loved to include it in that. And by the way, that was in Andrew's wedding and Maddie's wedding and Brad's wedding. I did all three of you guys. And that there was an insert in there that explained those terms. I don't know how many people looked at it, but the explanation was there. Now, that's what I mean by the English language being able to use terminology in a very highly specific way. And the word sucker, now plight and troth is not in the Bible. But sucker, what again does that sucker mean? Why is that the most excellent and the kind of a trigger word that really brought together what Phoebe was all about here? Anybody remember?
She was kindly in bringing aid to those who needed. She was
educational. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Speed. You got it. You're right on the button. It's that speed, that speedy help, the urgent help, the coming rapidly. And we went over that. Remember this one? The word sucker. And this is one of those words. I grab these every once in a while. This is one I would love to be able to bring back into use into the English language. But there's so many people who say, oh, I don't want to say sucker. It just sounds like I'm saying S-U-C-K or sucker, you know, all this kind of thing. But it is a great, great word in our language. And it means to speedily run to the aid of other members of the body of Christ, where this is our working definition. Those who are in danger, want, pain, or distress, any condition that would thwart, hamper, hurt, or harm their edification process and provide whatever is necessary to relieve such evil that would bring such harm to them, those conditions, and do so in a timely manner, in prompt manner, that allows as little suffering of that person as possible, warding off ill effects of that person's inner man, fainting, and by doing so, allow for the godly edification process to continue on. And full credit to Ken Daly for that one. An edification first responder. That's what a succorer is. A succorer is a first responder. And in this context, it's an edification first responder. Folks, they know there's... You've got to know, and you especially have to have enough wisdom to know the kind of hurdles that people are going to have to face. There's a lot of them. Heavens, I was accosted by our neighbor the other day. Poor Cindy was out there. I saw her, and I thought, well, maybe I can go rescue her. And it's my neighbor talks so much, and she's so lonely, and it's like a vacuum. It's like the core of a tornado. You get sucked into that thing. And she won't stop. It's not a conversation. She just goes until she's exhausted. And it was all about that her son got visions. And of course, we're going to get visions. You know, it says in Job, men will see dreams and visions and all this kind of thing. And he got a vision about his dead father and all this kind of and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I just want to get my wife and go home. That's all I want to do. And, 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 And it's that you have all, and you know, in that thing I was going over, well, that's not, yeah, they're going to dream and see vision, but that's Israel's program. And I could have said, oh, well, wait a minute, that's, and just run her down and all this kind of thing, but I didn't. Because there's bigger fish to fry than that. She's got other problems than that. And if there's a question in there, if there's just a question anywhere, and there's never a question, it's never a question, it's just, and it's just after all the bullets have been fired, then she's exhausted and she turns around and walks back in her house. And that's the way it's been for since 1995 when we moved there. And she loves our kids. She thinks our kids are like specially called of God's hand is on Luke and Andrew and Sarah, and they're all godly. So anyway, that's the kind of thing I'm saying when I say, you know, because your interaction with others and even other Christians, you know, and maybe even members of your own family, you know the hurdles that are out there that are so ingrained in our understanding that Christians have, the gross misunderstanding of the way in which prayer works, the fact that God's, you know, intervening in the affairs. Mike and I were talking the other day about the prosperity gospel that is such a big part of Christianity today, that if you're really spiritual, you should never be sick and you should never be poor. You should always have lots of money and great health. I think I heard one prosperity preacher say that he was going to live to be 150 years old or something like that. It was way into the hundreds. It's, you know, the hurdles, you know, the tough things that people are going to, and you should be able to soften those. You should be able to, being aware of those gives you an opportunity to be able to make sure that your speech is salted in such a way when you talk to them that you always, always have something better to offer them. If you don't have something better to offer them, don't say anything. All you're going to do is do what I've understood a lot of grace people do. They just tear somebody to pieces, leave them in a pile of ashes, and go and say, well, we scored another one. That's horrible. That's terrible. You've got to be able to offer them something better. And if you can't, don't go there. Don't even start. But if the opportunity arises, I'm still looking since 1995 for an opening with this woman. It hadn't occurred yet. But seriously, you've got to be able to offer them something better. If God's omnipotent hand is not working today, what is better than that? Can you answer that? I'll tell you what's better than that. My grace is sufficient for thee. That's better than that. The display of God's power effectually working in your inner man, enduring those things with the doctrine he's given you to his honor and to his glory, those are more powerful than him miraculously doing something for you. Yeah, the whole miracle crowd is cheapening God's power. They think they're extolling God's power. That's cheap in comparison to the power of my grace is sufficient for thee. I was just last night. I was rolling in this over and over in my mind. I still am not. I'm not satisfied in my own understanding of grace as a power to do things. I'm getting better at it, and I'm going to get it one of these days. But I still, that's the most magnificent thing, as you come out of Romans 5 to begin to see grace as a power to do things. And it's not just some ethereal concept of God's favor toward me, but it actually has great, great power. So we know the kind of hurdles. We can be a first responder. If a first responder comes to me and I'm having a heart attack or something and they're checking my toes, I don't want that first responder. I want a first responder who can get there in a timely fashion, who knows exactly what the procedure is, who knows how to fix the problem, how to deal with the problem, how to analyze the problem, diagnose the problem, and all of those kinds of things. This was Phoebe. She was a succorer of Paul and of myself also. What a magnificent woman. Well, anyway, in Romans 16, 3 through 16, we have a series of people. Let's go back to that. We have a series of people here. After you get past wonderful Phoebe, you starting with Priscilla and Aquila, you have greet, you have Epaphras, salute, Mary, greet. You see the G's and the S's, greets and salutes. Pardon me, all the rest of the way down, greets and salutes. And the last time we were together, we worked out what these two terms mean. What is the difference between the word greet and the word salute? Anyone want to give that a shot without using the board? Right, right. The one who's making the journey salutes the one, yeah. This is what you're referring to. The one who journeys to the person who is journeyed to greets the person journeying to them. The person who made the journey salutes the person they've come to. All right. That's good. What else can we say about greet and salute? Which one is that?
The one that's saluted.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody want to take on greet? Right. But this person here is going to greet this guy. What is this greeting consist of? Well, I don't know. They could ask that. Let's again return to our working definition. The working definition of greet. Working definition of greet. When you greet someone in this context of Romans, in an edification context, in a body of Christ context, in a dispensation of grace context, you welcome saints of mutual faith. Remember, Paul started Romans that way. He didn't talk about those who are like-minded. He talked about those of mutual faith. So the mutual faith surrounds the gospel of Christ that's committed to the Apostle Paul as the revelation of the mystery in this dispensation of grace. That's our mutual faith. We welcome those of mutual faith who have journeyed to us with expressions of joy and goodwill in connection with their mutual. They traveled to see you. They have mutually with you the zeal and enthusiasm and their dedication to the process of godly edification. We may talk about the weather, and we may talk about sports and about COVID and about Black Lives Matter, about all this other stuff. And yet the reason for our fellowship is that of godly edification. And the enthusiasm we have for that and our dedication to that. And that greeting should be of that style and that flavor. Listen to this very carefully. What I want to make sure does not happen is that you end up with these classes with a set of rules that you're going to go down and tick off and say, if I didn't do this, I didn't really greet this person. Or if I didn't do this right, I didn't really salute this person. We are not going down that road. What I'm saying is these are things that should be in your consciousness, in your awareness, that somewhere in this greeting, I'm going to broach the issue of your edification. That's what's going on among these saints in this context. This isn't just meeting any old person. This is a greeting from one member of the body who is being edified to another member of the body who is being edified as well. These are in a very highly sensitive, context-sensitive area. That's why we call this a working definition. Then when it came to salute, We had a summary of the dictionary definitions that we looked at, which we just said, simply put, is a courteous, kind, respectful declaration of one who has made the journey to visit another, whereby a polite inquiry is made. This is something that's slightly different than a greet. An inquiry is made for some particular information concerning the welfare of the one who is being saluted. And as Katie brought out, when we went back in the book of Matthew, the last time we were together, we found where the Lord Jesus Christ, back in Matthew 10, had taken the 12 apostles, and at the point in his earthly ministry in which he was going to begin to magnify that wedge that was going to be going through the nation to separate out the vain apostate religious element of Israel, the Pharisaical element, which, by the way, is existence in this dispensation. By the way, there are Pharisaical elements in the grace movement. They'll come along. And if they hear something they don't like, that guy's out. Well, he's that annoying. He's blasphemy. He's a legalist, and blah blah blah, and heresy. So we have them too. But he was to divide those from the little flock and from the remnant of Israel. And we saw that when he did that, he gave them a gesture to perform, but they were to salute the house that they went into. And that salute was going to require a declaration or pronouncement in three areas: who they were, who you are, who they represented, who you represent, and what you're doing there, stating your business there. Now, that's great, because that takes me to the end of Bible class the last time I was with you. And it also takes me to the end of our first session. What we're now going to do is tie up the loose ends of that, because that wasn't nearly sufficient. And we got some exciting things to cover in the next lesson. So one thing that we didn't get done in our last lesson was to get a working definition for salute. We never got to that. A working definition that's going to fit the context of this Romans 16 passage, and we'll begin doing that in our next lesson. And when we do, we're going to discover the core of the why this whole list is there, why it's there in a way we've never understood it before, so that we really see there's a doctrinal matter in view here. And we'll do that right after the break. So we'll take about a 15-minute break, and we'll come back and carry on.